Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, play any good video games lately? I don't feel like there's been a many releases yet this year. I could be wrong, but there's been, the holiday season, so a lot of releases then, and I don't know, maybe there's some old games you're playing. What's going on in your world of video games?
Well, I have been playing a couple different video games. One I play continuously. I play this game called Ark Survival Evolved. It's kind of where you raise dinosaurs and you build a base. It's a survival game. So I've been playing that for a few years now. So I play that off and on. Well, that's my mostly. I can see right now that I played 627 hours of this video game. I don't know. Is that a lot?
I don't know. I guess that'd be a fair amount. I guess it depends on the type of game. If this is like one of those like MMORPGs or a game that doesn't really have a set stop, like it just continue going, then that's fine. If it's like not that, then it might seem weird.
Yeah, it is an MMO style. You play with other people like around the world, you know. I mean, I've only been playing this game for a week, so only 627 hours. It's a
okay. Yeah, so then that's not too bad.
No, it's probably one of my favorite games. But I also got some other games over the like holiday break. I got this game called Gotham Knights. I don't know if you've heard of it. You play as like
the
Bat Family. It's okay. I wish it had better multiplayer, but I have been playing that. There's another game called Gunfire Reborn. You play as like little animals. It's like a little shooter game, and I don't know what it's called, but you go through each level, and if you die, you have to start from the beginning again. A dungeon crawler, maybe? I don't know, but you play as a team. So there's that, and then the last new game before I ask you, I've been playing Persona 5. I've never played it before, so good friend got me that game. So I've been enjoying that. That's definitely the game I play when I need a break from, when you kind of like don't want to be playing with anyone else and you just want to be in your own thing. That's the game I do. Like when I'm like, I want to be left alone. So
nice.
I've been enjoying that. It's definitely one of me. Like, is there an anime on this or is it just a game?
So it started with the game. Then they did make an anime and I think it's actually still on Hulu.
Ooh,
and then there's also a manga.
Should I wait till I finish the game and then hit the anime, or can I watch it anytime?
That's what I would do. Honestly, I think it's more so generally speaking, I always think if there is a game and then there is like other media, like an anime or a movie or a book or something, I always feel like the game is always better. Or at least if it started as a game. There are some exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, the game's always better because it was built for that medium. And when they try to adapt it into something else, it just doesn't seem to carry over as well. So I would stick with the game, and that's a game that you're easily going to spend 100+ hours on.
Oh yeah, I've been really enjoying it. I guess I'll have to finish and I can start the anime. But those are a few of the games that I've been playing, other than like my phone video games. I don't know if those really count. Do phone games count?
I'd say nowadays they do. Like in the past when it was just like, Snake or whatever, then I would say probably not. But now like you have some AAA style games coming out on mobile.
Did you ever play Clash of Clans?
I did not.
So I play Clash of Clans. I used to. I mean, I still have it. You basically, do you know of it? Do you know kind of the premise?
I know what it is. I've never played it.
So I was kind of into it, and then I became less into it. And then suddenly, like, I'm a part of this group, and every now and then I'll get a message from me like, we're in a war, and we need you to participate in the war. So every now and then I'm forced back into it. But I don't know. I do play this Power Ranger phone game. But that's only because I like Power Rangers a lot, and I'll play anything that has them in it. So those are kind of the few games that I've been playing. What about you? Any fun games, any new games you've been playing lately?
Well, funny you mentioned Persona 5. So I've played and beat Persona 5 one time, and then I was doing a playthrough. But was it last week or the week before? Persona 3 and Persona 4. So let's see, Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden, which are like their respective remasters from back in the day, were re-released on, I think, every major platform, like Switch, PlayStation. I got it for Steam so that I could play it on my Steam Deck. It is kind of weird working backwards because this is an older game, so the graphics aren't as good as the current Persona game. But if you talk to the Persona fandom, many of them will tell you that, like, the pinnacle of Persona, what is the word I'm looking for? The pinnacle of Persona is, like, 3, 4, and 5 for the most part. And then it's debatable as to which one is actually better, or, you know, whoever you ask. I think a lot of people will agree that five is the best one, but there are a lot of people who are hardcore into 4 and 3. I have not played 3 yet. I could have bought both if I wanted to, but I bought 4 largely because I want to focus on one of them, beat it, and then play the other one. But it's a fun series. Like, it has been an underground series for the longest time, like one of those cult followings where only a few people know. And then, of course, in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, they introduced Joker as one of the fighters in one of the season passes. And I think that's what kind of introduced a lot of people to the concept of Persona. And when the Persona 5 Royal re-release, what happened last year, it was, I think, for like the month or whatever, the top-selling game of the month. So 5 is like most people's first introduction to Persona. But then 4 and 3 have like real high standing in the traditional fandom.
Would you ever cosplay as one of the characters from Persona?
I often joke about it, like going in as Joker or something. I think it'd be fun. I like the game. It's really fun. It is kind of like, and you could say this about a lot of games, but I think if you've played it, you would definitely agree with me. It's at least like, it's like if they made an anime into a video game. Like, it has all of the anime tropes and whatnot. And the characters, and they're all high schoolers and everything. So it's like anime the video game, like just more so than any other game that I've ever played. You'll hear people say that about a lot of things, but Persona really, really is. I don't know if you've ever played, like, going back to talking about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, there's a series called Xenoblade Chronicles, and it's part of the larger Xeno series. So, like, back in the day, there was Xenosaga, which was published by Square Enix. And fun fact, that the story of Xenosaga was originally pitched to be the story for Final Fantasy VII, but they rejected it. But Squaresoft at the time, not Square Enix, but Squaresoft let them, like, hey, you know what? Go ahead and make it into its own game. Have fun. And that became Xenosaga. And then, of course, the people broke off, created their own company, Monolith Soft, and they created the Xenogears was the one. And then Xenosaga came after that. It was a three-parter. And then Xenoblade Chronicles, like the very first one, did all right. But it really just had a cult classic status. Like, they originally didn't even want to release it in America. Like, it was only released in Europe and Japan. But then, thanks to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate adding Shulk, all of a sudden these people are all like, oh, what's this character from? What's this guy play? And then, like, now all of a sudden everybody's into Xenoblade Chronicles. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 was even up for Game of the Year.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know who Shulk is. Because of Smash Brothers. I was like, who are these? Who are these people in my video game? And now I know.
Yeah. Well, I think there's been some people who've been saying that it's that this was like the last Smash Bros. Game we're ever going to get. Which I hope isn't the case.
I don't believe that. Like, there are certain games that we call them console sellers. You know, the video games that come out for new consoles that are like, this is going to push everyone to buy this console. And Smash Brothers is one of them. Like, I say Pokemon is a console seller. Like, Pokemon will come out for a new console. People are like, well, I got to buy the new console now. I think Smash Brothers is another one of those games where it's like, it comes out and everyone wants, like, whenever you used to go over to people's houses, or still sometimes I go over to people's houses, and we, someone's always like, you want to play Smash Brothers? That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is that, what's his name? Sakurai, the creator of Smash Brothers, pretty much said I would have to look up the interview, but from what I've read, he's pretty much indicated that he's done with the series. Like, he has no interest in continuing it. Now, granted, you are right. It is a cash cow. Like, it would sell if they released another Smash Brothers, like if they released the Switch 2 or whatever the next generation of Nintendo product is, and it had a Smash Brothers, it would absolutely sell. They might just have, I don't know, give it to somebody else to work on or something. I don't know. But it sounds like the actual creator, Sakurai, is just, he says he's just not interested in it.
Okay. I don't know. Is this so I know that there's a story mode in Smash Brothers Ultimate, but does yes. Smash Brothers need a story?
Some people like it. I mean, some fighting games do have stories. So, like, if you look at the Injustice game, you can either just fight or you can play the story arc. Same thing with, like, Marvel vs. Capcom, Mortal Kombat. So I think they kind of wanted to do the same thing with Super Smash Brothers and give it a story mode.
Do the other ones have stories, like, before this one?
I think the only other one that had a fully fleshed out story was Brawl.
So on the GameCube.
Brawl.
No, wait, Brawl was the GameCube.
Brawl was Wii. Super Smash Brothers was 64. Melee was the GameCube. And then I forget what did they just call it, like Smash Wii U or something like that. But most people forget about that one because the Wii U was a pretty poorly. As far as modern Nintendo goes, the Wii U sold pretty poorly.
Oh, I don't even remember this one. I don't know. I hope they don't stop making Smash Bros. I do feel like I don't want... I don't know. How do you... I feel like you like the other characters, like Shulk and Joker in the games.
I do. I like when they add other characters, largely because, like, I don't mind playing as Mario or Kirby. Of the OG lineup, I always play as Kirby. But I also enjoy, like, half of the fun is seeing what new characters they're going to add to it. In fact, I was definitely one of the guys who, like, got super excited when we saw that they released Sora from Kingdom Hearts, because there was, like, this big rumor that it was never going to happen, and then eventually it did. I did not care for the reveal, but I like how they did it. I could have thought of so many better, more fun ways they could have done it, but it was fine.
See, I want more Nintendo more obscure Nintendo characters. Like, when is Cooking Mama going to make it into the game?
I mean, eventually they're going to have to. Like, they're going to run out of mainline video game characters at some point. They're going to have to just really go to, like, the bottom of the barrel and, like, add Dig Dug and Bubble Bobble and like Gex and Tomba and just like all the characters we all forgot about. Well, I'm surprised Crash Bandicoot and Spyro haven't made their way in there yet, but still. Well,
is Crash Bandicoot only PlayStation? Is he still a PlayStation exclusive?
Not anymore. So the originals were, then when they did like the Insane Trilogy or whatever, they released it on all platforms. And then they made a Crash Bandicoot 4, and I think that is on all platforms too. I could be completely wrong, so.
Well, I want Cooking Mama in. I want Cooking Mama and the Brain Quiz guy or whatever. Do you remember that game on the DS? It was like...
Vaguely.
Learn Your Brain. It was this weird teacher, professor-looking guy. I want him in the game. What other obscure Nintendo characters do I want? I wish Nintendogs was a fighting character instead of a stage. See, these are the things I want, so... I don't know. But most likely we'll get like Iron Man or something else in the game.
Yeah. I wouldn't anticipate any superheroes going in, but definitely want to see more people come in. And eventually, like I said, they're going to run out of like well-known characters and really just have to dig into the bottom of the barrel of video game characters that we all forgot existed.
Yeah. Waluigi needs his time too. So,
You know, I think it would have been a little bit better if we could add Hank in there, but I guess Hank's not a video game character. So his final smash would somehow involve propane, though. I guarantee it.
Wait, is it Hank? What about the propane game?
Yeah, I guess if you want to stretch in the King of the Hill universe, there is a video game with Hank in it. So I guess that's as good of a segue as any. Probably like one of my mediocre segues. Not a great one, not a terrible one. But this episode is going to be our episode 47, Hank's Cowboy Movie, which is season 3, episode 19. So one of those really early episodes. I've always told you I love the early episodes. I think up until about season 5 or the almost all of them are winners for me. There's maybe 2 or 3 in all 5 of those seasons that I don't care for at all. One being Pygmalion, and that's just another conversation for another day. So yeah, this is going to be a Bobby and Hank episode, and it is a very wholesome episode. Like during the rewatch, when I finished it, I was like, you know what? I liked it. I liked how it panned out. So the episode opens at a rest area. Hank and Bobby are on some kind of road trip. And they go up to, like, you know, there's always like the giant map that shows like you are here, and then you could kind of look around and see all the other cities and maybe figure out what highway to get on and stuff. And Bobby's looking and he's like, oh, Wichita Falls, that is 2 inches away. And Hank pulls out a measuring tape, which I found interesting that he just had it on him. Like, he didn't have to go back to his truck to get it or anything. He just pulls out a measuring tape from his pocket and he's like, 2.5 inches. Good eye, Bobby. So a tourist comes by, he's like, hey, how do I get to Corpus? And then Hank's like, well, the most direct way or the fastest way is through here, but the best way is through Arlen. It is George Bush Community of Excellence. And guy's like, oh, wow, are you guys going to Arlen? It's like, nope, we're from there. We're going to Wichita Falls to see the Cowboys training camp. It used to be in Austin, but, you know, as my dad says, cowboys will be cowboys. And Hank's like, I say that in private, Bobby.
Can anyone go to, like, a training camp? Like, is it just open to the public? Or do you have that ticket?
I imagine you have to buy tickets, but I'm sure they're probably pretty, like, affordable because you're not really watching them play. I imagine it's not as entertaining to the casual fan. So they probably don't spend the dollar amount on a full ticket.
Okay. I just Googled it. Tickets are free, but they need to be reserved in advance.
Ah, okay. So it's kind of like going to on like the Daily Show or the Tonight Show or something. I think you have, like, I think those shows are free, but you have to reserve them ahead of time. They're watching the Cowboys play, and, you know, Hank's and Bobby are scoring and really kind of bonding, which is part of the nice part. And Hank's like, I'm going to give Irvin an A-. And Bobby's like, I'm going to give him a B+. I'll give him room to improve. And Hank's like, oh, good idea. And then Bobby's like, yeah, I'm going to give Troy Aikman a B+2. And Hank's like, that's not funny. As the area clears out, they notice that a football was left behind. And so Hank and Bobby decide to pretend that they're playing in the Super Bowl. And Hank tosses the ball to Bobby, and he's like, he's out to get it. And then Bobby, well, fumbles the ball, as you'd expect. And then Hank's like, oh, pass interference. The Cowboys retain possession. And then Bobby's like, and they run out the clock. And Hank's like, oh, yeah, turns out they were ahead all along. The Cowboys win the Super Bowl. The Cowboys win the Super Bowl. And security comes by. I was like, all right, what are you guys doing here? Where are you from? And it's like, oh, we're from Arlen, Texas. Oh, Arlen, Pig Town. You make those tiny breakfast sweeties. He's like, oh, no, we don't raise pigs. We process them there. And it's like, okay, well, whatever. You guys got to get out of here. Then they go to a Dairy Queen. And Bobby's impressed that they do the extra little, blizzard flip. And he's like, wow, a little extra. You never do see that in Arlen. And then they're like, it's $1.09. And Hank's like, what? It's 99 cents back in Arlen. And Bobby's like, but in Arlen, it's not the official frozen treat of the Dallas Cowboys. In the car, Bobby tries to do the flip himself, but it's melted a little bit. And so when he does, it just spills it all over himself, and he has to change his pants in the car. I kind of like their interactions here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love the interaction with Hank and Bobby on the field. No matter what Bobby did, it was like not going to ruin Hank's fantasy of this, of him being a cowboy at the Super Bowl. And I love how he's just like, Bobby gets to be a part of this. And he's like, rewrites the story to whatever Bobby's doing. I appreciate Bobby running the clock down.
Well, I think it's because Bobby, really, when you think about it, Bobby wasn't being that weird. Like, I think he irked Hank a little bit by insulting Troy Aikman or whatever. But other than that, they were both kind of into it. They were both having a good time.
Well, of course, the Troy Aikman thing was like, I feel like that was a purpose jab at Hank. You know, like a funny, like, oh, I know this is going to rile him up a little bit.
Maybe. But I also feel like Bobby doesn't know football enough, so he's just doing things at random. Like, I think with, like, I bet Bobby didn't really even have a strong opinion about Irvin until Hank said B minus, and then Hank, or and then Bobby was like, oh, well, I'll give him a B plus to give him room to improve or whatever. So I don't know. But either way, like, it's clear that they're connecting or they're trying to connect. Let's see. So as they're driving by, Hank sees a propane dealership and the sign says J&J Propane, you know, the official propane dealer of the Dallas Cowboys. And of course, Hank has to pull in and see. So he walks in, he asks for the assistant manager, and kid yells out, Jeff, there's someone here. And he's like, oh, how many times do I have to tell you not to wake me up when I'm napping? And Hank's like, oh, you know, I wanted to meet you guys. You know, I'm a propane salesman myself, and it must be great, you know, after a long day of selling propane, you and your son can go and watch the Dallas Cowboys play. And you know, he's envying them, and he's like, the guy Jeff is like, I'm tired of you South Texas pig jockeys coming up here and waking me up from my nap. It's always going, how about them Cowboys? Arlen stinks and Wichita Falls rules. You know why? Because in 5 minutes, we can be in the great state of Oklahoma. And then they start singing like the Sooners fight song and stuff. And then Hank starts to go crazy. So he starts singing, you know, Stampede for the Cowboys. It's kind of like a music duel or chance combat that eventually they just run out. Which, I don't know, I thought that was kind of funny because I think Hank was expecting a completely different reaction from the official dealer of the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know. I always, when I rewatched the scene, I was like, oh, Hank is so mesmerized by just all the, like, cowboy stuff. It's that, like, he did not, because when they enter the propane thing, the like salesman or the I guess the son was like, he's smoking a cigarette in the propane area. So I felt like Hank was going to say something, but Hank never says anything. So I feel like he's just enamored by, like, this is cowboy town.
I think you're right. I think the Cowboys have just occupied his brain. They go to a motel. I guess it's, I don't want to say it's a skeezy motel, but it's like not a high end motel. And they have those like little magic fingers, and Bobby's like, oh, I like magic. So he puts a quarter in it and the bed starts vibrating and he starts singing Spice Girls on it. I don't know why he chose that song. I guess maybe because it was a popular song at the time.
It's Bobby. What do you think?
Yeah. And then Hank runs out. He's like, oh, get off of that. You're not 18 yet. And, you know, Bobby's like, man, they don't have beds like this in Arlen. And Hank's like, no, they do not. They find a tape in the nightstand, and it is like what the Wichita Falls, like, I guess, Chamber of Commerce or whatever made in order to get the Cowboys to come visit. And, you know, and this starts with, oh, Wichita Falls, this North Texas town. And Hank's like, North Texas, my foot, more like South Oklahoma. And Bobby's like, well, it's better than Pigtown. And Hank's like, you go into the bathroom and wash your mouth out with 3 or 4 of those little soaps. As they start heading home, they enter Arlen, and Bobby's like, man, I never noticed what a dump this town was. Oh, what's that smell? And Hank's like, that's a sausage plant. That means jobs. But then he sniffs and then rolls up the window anyway. At home, Bobby falls asleep. I guess he just stole the tape from the hotel, because he has the little tape about the about Wichita Falls, and he's falling asleep to it, and he's like enamored, like he's talking about, like, the mall was anchored with the Dillard's and a JCPenney's. Peggy sees him, and Peggy walks in the bedroom and gets ready to go to bed with Hank, and Peggy's like, wow, looks like Bobby had a good time. And Hank's like, yeah, but now he's down in his hometown. You know, one day some guidance counselor is going to tell him to follow his dreams, and he'll do it, and he'll be a fruit pie salesman with a whoopee cushion in Wichita Falls. And, you know, Peggy's like, oh, well, you know, there's nothing here for them, though, because, you know, they're just... Ireland's becoming a smaller and smaller town. You know, last week, one of my students said that they want to be an astronaut. Now, you can't find work as an astronaut in Ireland. No, not anymore.
I love any time we refer to fruit pies. And yeah. Bobby's love of fruit pies.
Oh, yeah. That is a big part of his character, his uncontrollable, insatiable love of fruit pies.
Is that a Texas thing? Is that a Southern thing, the fruit pies?
Definitely a Southern thing, or definitely a Texas thing. I don't think it is exclusively Texan, though. I think it might be a whole South thing.
But I mean, like, okay, like a Southern thing. I don't know if it's like, you know, I mean, I bet there's Wolf Brand chili everywhere, but I mean, like, we make it our thing here in Texas. So I was wondering if fruit pies, if you know, if you're listening and you're like, live in a Northern state and love fruit pies, tweet me.
And be clear, we're not talking about like generic, you know, fruit pies, like, you know, your grandma makes an apple pie or a cherry pie or something. These are like manufactured by Little Debbie's, little, you know, I guess almost like if you can imagine a Hot Pocket, only it's sweet. So instead of a meat filling, it's like, you know, like a strawberry puree or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, let me know if you guys are eating fruit pies up there, up north.
Yeah, fruit pies is definitely, like, one of Bobby's most favorite things, and it comes up a lot in the show. Also, it's funny to me how I've been to Wichita Falls once a long time ago, so my information's probably not valid anymore. Though I guess maybe it is aligned with the time that this episode was made. But there's not much to do up there. It's not that exciting of a town, but it's funny to see how Bobby's fallen in love with it over Ireland. I guess any kind of upgrade isn't exciting. So like now that he's gone from, you know, small town Ireland to mid-sized town Wichita Falls, and it's exciting to him. And Hank is a little upset, understandably, because he wants Bobby to love his hometown. But, you know, some kids just leave. That's how it goes. Have you ever gone back to your hometown after a while and just realized either you didn't like it or you hated it or something like that? Or you not hated it. Hated is probably not the right way to say it, but like you saw it in a different light.
I mean, it's always smaller than you remember, or like, I don't know. Gosh, that's tough. It's good to reminisce about. You go back and you see the things you liked, and then you're like, okay, time to get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, it's a great place to visit, not to live, but I don't know, not to hate on anyone's hometown. Hometowns are everyone's a city. I don't know. I feel like sometimes when you leave and you look back upon it, it's like this different gaze. And then you go back and you're like, oh, it's not exactly how I remember it.
So that's how I feel after like living in the Bay Area and Austin and a few different places and then going back to San Antonio. Like, I see it from both eyes. So I see it from the lens of my own memories. Like, no matter what, there's nostalgia there. Granted, there's a lot of stuff that's changed. Like, I've seen some streets, like, there are areas that were nothing but, like, the sticks that we used to live in. And now there's, like, huge housing and retail developments. But a lot of the stuff is like, oh, yeah, I remember when we used to go to this restaurant all the time. Or, oh, I remember I went here and, you know, oh, this is where my friends were. Or, this is where I always hung out on the weekends with my friends. You know, so there's that part in the nostalgia. But then, like, I see it also from the point of view of just, like, comparing it to other cities. And I'm like, there's not much to do here. The city kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, you definitely get used to, like, having other things around you and other, like, you know, just more luxury things. And then you go back and you're like, oh, this is like really mom and pop. I guess unless you're from the big city, then it's different. Then you go home and you're like, well, no. I guess maybe the opposite. If you're from the big city and then you move to a mom and pop area and then you're like, oh, this is crowded. I guess everyone thinks differently. It's always was it grass is greener kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, Bobby's, and I think that's kind of what is happening in general. I mean, around this time of the show, but also even today and stuff, you know, small towns are getting smaller and cities are bigger. I think, I forget where I read the statistic, and somebody's probably going to call me out on it, but I was reading something a while ago. They're talking about like how maybe over the past decade or something, this is the first time in human history that more people lived in big urban areas versus agricultural areas. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's happening because that's where a lot of the opportunities are. And I think Hank thought Bobby would follow him in his footsteps and buy a house in Arlen or take over his house or whatever, and, you know, start a propane dealership or what, things like that. Not, oh, I hate my hometown and I want to get as far away as possible. In fact, good old Hank is so concerned here that he puts together like a meeting with different people, largely his neighbors. I don't think I saw anybody who wasn't a neighbor. But they had a meeting at a restaurant talking about how all the kids are leaving. And Dale's like, yeah, without any young people, there'll be nobody to take care of our old people. And our old people will have to eat our really old people. Our old people would wish they were dead. And Hank would say, that won't happen. Not if we do something about it. Which is funny because he kind of acknowledges the crazy steps there. So they're like, you know what? We're going to make Arlen great so that kids want to stay. We're going to bring the Dallas Cowboys to Arlen. We're going to make a movie, send it to the Cowboys about why Arlen is great, and they'll come. And you know, Hank's like, "You, Dale, you practically slept with that camera, have you?" And Dale's like, practically, yes. But I was going to be the next Zapruder. Unfortunately, nobody shot anybody. And Nancy's like, well, I'll be the voice because, you know, she's TV personality. And Peggy's like, and you need a great script. And then Hank's like, hey, why don't you take it, Peggy? And she's like, oh, okay. And Hank's the president. And Boomhauer wants to be the narrator, but being Boomhauer, nobody would understand. Hank's like, yeah, you know, we really need somebody in an armadillo suit. And as they're all cheering on, Bobby's playing a video game with Joseph, like at the arcade portion of the restaurant. Bobby's like, in Wichita Falls, this button doesn't stick.
You forgot Bill. Bill's in charge of snacks.
Oh, yes. Bill's in charge of snacks. He's craft services.
And then he's like, sopapillas for everyone. I don't know why I love that line. Because, what's it? Yeah, he says, like, sopapillas for everyone. And then it cuts away to like Bobby and Joseph at the game. And then you hear Hank say, yes, sopapillas for everyone. And like, this is something weird that Hank's into, like, is getting really riled up about. Because then he's like, yes, let's all celebrate with these things. So I'm really excited for Hank right now. This is like Hank's moment.
Yeah. I think it's also just kind of the adrenaline. Like, Hank's kind of riding on that adrenaline high of everybody be getting excited for making the movie and stuff. So then when somebody's like, let's have sopapillas, he's like, yeah, sopapillas. But then also, sopapillas are pretty awesome, so I don't see why anybody wouldn't want, you know, I can't see why somebody wouldn't want to praise them.
I mean, it's fried dough, so, you know, ain't like, basically a donut, you know, a dipping donut, so. I guess what would you, it's like a beignet that you dip into other things without the powdered sugar. Wait, they have cinnamon sugar on. I don't know. Regardless, Hank's excited. Bill's excited. Everyone's got a role to play. Except for Min and Khan. They weren't invited.
Yep. They weren't there. That's a good call out. I don't even know how I didn't notice that.
They would have gotten really into it too, though. Like whenever these big plans happen with like the whole street and they're involved, they get into it. They'd like become a part of the group no matter what it is. So if they were there, they would have been into it. They would have had fun roles to play.
Probably. Though I feel like, I don't know. If they said they were making it just for themselves, like just, oh, we're going to make a community movie or whatnot, I could see Khan and Min passing on it. But once they mentioned that they were going to send it to the Cowboys or whatever, they probably would have jumped on the opportunity. Give Connie some film credits that she could put in her college application or something. I don't know. So they start making the video, and they're kind of at the city limit sign, and Nancy's narrating, and she talks about how landlocked Arlen is Darlin, which is the slogan that Peggy came up with. And it's not a good shot because Dale keeps like moving the camera, zooming in and out, almost as if he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, Hank's like, "Oh, Dale, I've noticed you jiggling the camera. We don't need any fancy camera tricks here." And he's like, "All right, imagine that I'm a human tripod." They then go to a place called Y'all Store, which I guess is similar to like U-Haul storage or whatever. So I like that they call it Y'all Storage. And, you know, they talk about how ingenuitive the Arlen people are. You know, we're very DIY, FYI. Hank stops and he's like, "Oh, it's written and it was acted well, but it needs, and he kind of walks away and ponders and he's like, "All right, do it again, but maybe a little better this time." Nancy is like, "Oh, I like your script." And, you know, Peggy's like, "Thanks." And Nancy's like, "Yeah, it was great. I wouldn't change a thing." And Peggy's like, "Well, one thing I would point out, you said Arlenites, but the proper term for citizens of Arlen is Arlenians." And it's like, "Oh, it's a Channel 84 preferred term for residents of Arlen." She's like, "Oh, you know, but I'm just..." Peggy's like, "Yes, I know, but as an educator, I know that it's supposed to be Arlenians." And she's like, "Okay, whatever you think. I'm just the professional TV personality." Hank watches the video and he's like, "Okay, I'm duct taping your Zoom." I don't know what's going on in Dale's mind, if he knows that he's doing it or if he legitimately thinks he's helping. And then Boomhauer is in a giant armadillo suit and Bill just has like a platter of cheese squares, and that is his take on craft services, I guess. The football field, Hank is like prepping, like, I guess, storyboarding what he wants to do next. So it's just him and Bobby in an empty field. He's like, "Oh, we'll take a big shot from up here." And, you know, Bobby's like, "Oh, Dad, do you think you can really get the Cowboys to move to Arlen?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do. And I wish I could have seen Dandy Don Meredith or Roger Staubach play in my town and after school throw me passes. I love you, Bobby." And Bobby's like, "What?" And then Hank's like, "Hey, look at that bird." I do see it's wholesome because like now Hank's actually connecting to Bobby. And I think that "I love you" was genuine, but then, you know, him being him, he's just being repressed and everything. He had to take it back immediately or distract from it.
I mean, he is Cotton's son, so understandable.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's definitely repressed and a lot of it comes from his upbringing, but I did like seeing how they were bonding. Like, I think this was like not forced or anything. I think this was legit Bobby being excited and Hank being excited and them connecting over something similar. Next, they go to a snake farm, which kind of reminds me, I think it's a New Braunfels. If you're driving between San Antonio and Austin on IH-35, there is like this snake farm that's been there forever, like since I was a little kid, and it's probably been there before then. So whenever I saw the snake farm, it like immediately made me think of that. Hank's like, "Stop putting the Dale's dead bug truck in all the shots. What message do we want to send out there? That Arlen's full of bugs?" And he's like, "Oh, you think that's all I do is kill bugs? Well, last year I killed so many gophers and accidentally killed a racehorse." So, oh, Ben Dale, he's all funny. And then Peggy comes up and is like, "Nancy wants to change my slogan from Arlen is Darlin' to Arlen, where Super Bowls are born." And then Hank kind of ponders, and you can tell he's like, "Hey, that's actually a good name, huh? Where Super Bowls are born." It's like, "Okay, we'll get Nancy here." It's like, "Well, Nancy doesn't want to do the scene with the snakes." So they call John Redcorn to quote-unquote check on her, and he goes into the van, which is kind of her trailer, and he's like, "I'm going to need an hour and some wine." And Dale's like, "I'll get it." After, I guess, some time passes and they're just kind of hanging out and stuff, Peggy's like, "Okay, you know, it's been too long. Put me on the camera." And it's like, "Oh, no, we can wait on Nancy. John Redcorn barely got in there." And, you know, Peggy's like, she does like a toilet whooshing sound. And she's like, "You know what that is? The Cowboy's going away and you're the one sitting on the seat." So Hank's like, "Okay, come on." And so they put Peggy on the camera and she's like not comfortable at all. She has a snake in one hand and a mouse in the other, and she's like trying to force feed the mouse to the snake. Not like stuff it down his throat or whatever, but he's like it's like when you have the two kids with like dolls or whatever, and they're like, and now kiss. It's kind of like that, where the snake's just not even interested, and it's just like ignoring, and she's putting the mouse. But it's funny. Nancy comes back and she's ready, and she's like, I'll do the scene, but I am not touching that snake. And Peggy's like, oh, yes, you are. And she puts the mouse on Nancy's arm, which runs up her arm. She flips out and literally flicks the mouse off of her. The mouse lands on Boomhauer, gets into his suit. Boomhauer rips his suit off. As he's getting his suit off, he knocks over a bucket full of mice, and now all these mice are running around, and they start eating the cheese, and we see a monkey at this snake farm just bite off the head of one of the mice, and then the other monkeys start like pulling Nancy's hair and rubbing poop in it, and then they like pull out two locks, and Nancy gets upset understandably, and she's like, I quit. And then Peggy's like, well, I quit too. And then Bill quits because Peggy quits, and then Boomhauer quits, and then Dale's like, you've stifled my creativity too much, Hank, I quit. Now Hank's like, but come on, we need to keep doing this. Come on, guys. Arlen, the Cowboys. And Bobby's like, that's okay, Dad. You were crazy to compete with Wichita Falls. I found it funny how it broke down. I also like the stuff that they feel is necessary to show off in this video of Arlen. Like, we're going to show off the sign. We're going to show off the snake farm. And we're going to show off this random self-storage place.
Yeah, I'm always surprised they didn't go to like Strickland and around the propane area, or I don't know where else. There's not that many things in Arlen, like the high school football field.
I found that funny. Yeah, that, I mean, there's so many things that they should have shown that were like relevant. Like they should have shown like the hotels or things like that. And I guess they probably didn't because they're a smaller town. They don't have those kind of luxuries. But I guess there's some charm that they want to show off some of their unique things. But at the same time, it's like, you guys really aren't doing a good job at selling your city. So after the break, Hank decides he's going to make the movie all on his own. So he brings over the camera and he puts it on his truck. And then he walks out. And it's funny because he puts it on his truck like on the far, like up against the windshield almost, but pointing out over the hood of the car. So like when he's doing this, the shot at Strickland Propane, you see like Hank, but then you see half truck hood, so it's a bad shot. And then it's the same thing when he's trying to do it at the football field. He puts the camera like up on some random seat, and then he walks all the way down the field and yells at the top of his lungs saying, I'm standing at the 50 yard line. And he takes it to a UHF editor and he's like, so can you fix it? He's like, look, I'm the best UHF editor in the state, but even I can't work miracles. You know, the sound's terrible. You don't have a tracking shot, yada, yada. And Hank's just upset. I like that Hank is still trying, but I feel really bad for him.
I mean, he's trying his best. He really wants to make this happen. Not that he really wants he wants the Cowboys to come, but he wants Arlen to be something. So, you know, I appreciate his effort.
Yeah, I think like, the Cowboys coming is definitely secondary to him. Like, he loves the Cowboys, but I think the reason he wants to do this is because he wants to make Arlen cool and have Bobby and the kids stay around. More importantly, Bobby, but also, like, all the youth stick around and not leave the city. At the Hill House, Hank is depressed and he's talking to the Tom Landry plate that he has. Like, it's a collectible plate. And he's like, where did I go wrong? And Bobby's like, Dad's talking to the plate again, which I guess is a thing that he does whenever he feels this low, which I think, you know, being that he is a repressed person, doesn't show emotions, I'm guessing this is like the only way he does. And anytime they see him do it, it means like, oh, he's really sad. And I don't think I think he's fine. So yeah, they pick up on the fact that he's sad and now they're going to try to make things better. We see Peggy in like the other room making a call to Nancy saying, you know, oh, we need to make this video work, and you know, I'm gonna apologize one Arlenite to another. And like, no, I was the one who said Arlenite. You said Arlenian. Okay, come on, let's just move forward. Where are all those home videos? And they take all these home videos to the UHF editor and have him like stitch it together into one large video, and they decide to show it to Hank, and this is the Cowboy video, and it's, you know, home videos of the wedding and Bobby walking around like a baby Bobby, and he's naked, and he's like, oh, I've got a smooth bottom. And Hank's like, Bobby. And then they're water skiing, and it shows Joseph's birth, and Hank grilling with a large grill. He's like, oh, you know, I made this out of two barbecue grills. And there's something canonically wrong with that, because that is clearly a charcoal grill in there. So this must have been like really early in Hank's life before he started working for propane. I mean, you could argue that it's just a continuity error, but that's a major error to make. And, you know, it's in other things, kids playing around and stuff, and the guys drinking beer on the couch, and, you know, the tagline they have is where Super Bowls are made by super people. And Hank's like so happy, and this video really pleases him. You know, some days pass and Hank's kind of sitting on the porch, and he got the rejection letter from the Cowboys. You know, they said, you know, thank you for the video, but we have no plans on moving from Wichita Falls, and gave them this little rubber football. And, you know, I guess Hank kind of relents and he's like, I guess you'll be leaving us when you grow up. And Bobby's like, yeah, but that's not for a little while. We got plenty of time until then. And he's like, yeah. And even then, you know, Wichita Falls is not that far. It's a 6-hour drive. And guy's like, oh, I'm not going to move to Wichita Falls. I'm going to be a prop comic in Hollywood or New York City or maybe Vegas. And I find it funny because these are like places that you expect Hank to say that he hates with a fiery passion. But he's like, well, I guess at least it's not Wichita Falls. So, yeah, he's fine. And Bobby's like, well, I may keep a place there for tax purposes. Hey, let's toss a little ball around. And so they go in the yard, they toss football. And this time, Bobby is going to snap the ball. And he's like, oh, I'm going to throw it to the end zone. Staubach looks. He throws the ball. And to my dad, Hank Hill, and he catches it. The Cowboys win the Super Bowl. Yeah, so yeah, that was the end of the episode. So again, I really like how wholesome this relationship between Bobby and Hank is.
Yeah, Hank just wanted Bobby to be really proud of Ireland and not like, you know. Yes, Hank wanted to bring attention to the city, but it was mostly because he didn't want Bobby to feel like he came from a bad place. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, like I think it was, like if it was Dooley who said it or even Joseph or Connie, he'd probably be irked, but he wouldn't be that mad about it. I think the fact that it was Bobby who was down on his hometown, that was just really eating him up. And that's when he was like, I need to do something. I can't let my son hate his hometown.
Yeah, and I'm glad that Bobby doesn't want to move to Wichita Falls. I mean, maybe for tax purposes. Though, yeah, I mean, if you're going to move into a state that has state taxes, you might as well reside in Texas.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, if you're going to get an entertainment, though I would say, you know, more things are starting to be made in other cities nowadays. But generally speaking, like at that time, especially like 90% of all filming took place in America anyway. Like the primary business was in either Los Angeles or New York City. Like obviously, you know, they might go on site to like Canada or wherever to actually film the movie, but where the business takes place is those areas. So yeah, it makes sense that you'd want to move there. But like Hank's made it very clear in the show on many occasions that he hates New York City and he hates Los Angeles. I don't know that he's ever made a real stance on Vegas. Doesn't come to mind, but I'd imagine he wouldn't be a big fan of it either. At the same time, like these cities that he hates, he seems to like the idea of Bobby winding up there over Wichita Falls, which just makes me laugh.
Well, Wichita Falls was so mean to him this episode. So I get it.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I think maybe that makes sense. Like, because Wichita Falls is another Texas town, and Hank seems to be pretty upset about it because, you know, it's not real Texas, as you mentioned, South Oklahoma and stuff. And having Bobby like this other Texas town is upsetting. In a sense, Hank ideologically has problems with New York City or with New York City or Los Angeles, but I think like on a personal level, he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't really have a strong opinion about it, but yeah. And this is why I like so many of the earlier episodes. I think they're better written on as a whole. And I think this was a well-written episode about, you know, a father and a son bonding over football and the Cowboys, but at the same time, like the father really wanting the son to love the city that he loves, the town that he loves. And, you know, just seeing where that goes and the things that they're going to do. And Bobby never really makes fun of Hank for it. And he even gets excited with Hank about it. And yeah, I just like the wholesomeness of this episode. And also just I don't know how small town it seems to be because of the stuff they're trying to show off.
Yeah, it's a really great episode. It's just like, you know, a fun, simple thing. You know, we learn about sausage. I didn't know sausage was made. At this point, I didn't know sausage was made in Ireland, but, you know, that's what keeps the city going.
Yes. Yeah, Pigtown. I think that's the only time you ever actually hear it be called Pigtown. I can't think of another time, but yeah. Again, this is one of my favorites. I know we say that about everyone, but like if I were to put a top 10 list, this would definitely be on there. So this is a really good episode. Anything else, Jimmy?
No, like I always say, this is a fun rewatch. It's great seeing Bobby and Hank connect on things. Definitely give it a, like, you know, if you're eating lunch and you need to throw something on, this would be a good one.
Yes, it's definitely worth using your lunch break to watch. 100% agree. Next time, we're going to be talking about A Firefighting We Will Go. So until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.